Let it fail or make it fail. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Republicans didn't have the votes to replace Obamacare, and they didn't have the votes to repeal it. So President Trump has said he'll just let it fail. One way to do that, to let slash make Obamacare fail, is to stop paying the $7 to $8 billion worth of subsidies to insurers for covering out-of-pocket costs for some low-income Americans. Joining us from our health desk at WHYY to talk about this is Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. So, Dan, could the president just not make these payments? Is that likely?
So every month, the Treasury Department makes these payments to insurers. Now, the process can take several days. And an industry source I was talking to last night says there's no sign of any interruption. So insurers are expecting this money will come through at least for July. But now that the Republicans' health bill has failed in the Senate and the president is talking about letting Obamacare fail, all bets are off for August.
Now, this decision is not solely in the hands of President Trump, right? Congress has to have a say in this.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, these payments are actually tied up in a lawsuit between the administration and Congress. President Trump inherited that case from the Obama administration. Every 90 days, these two sides have been going to court to give the judge an update. And that next update is scheduled for later in August, a day after the next monthly payment is due. So the president could decide, you know what, forget it. No more payments. We're going to let Obamacare collapse. But there's a chance, probably a small one, that the Senate could step in and authorize the funding. Yesterday, Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee announced that he's going to hold hearings on how to stabilize this market. And, funding these out-of-pocket subsidies permanently is going to be high on lots of insurers' lists.
Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sabri.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. The Dow is down 9 points. That's a little less than 0.1%. Dow futures, I should say. NASDAQ futures are up 0.2%. S&P futures are up less than 0.1%. And the 10-year Treasury yield is down at 2.28%. At this point, we've been hearing a lot about self-driving cars for years. So where are they already? Lawmakers in the House today are thinking about just this question, how to get them on the road and on the market in an appreciable way. One thing a House subcommittee is considering, rules barring states from setting their own rules for self-driving cars. As Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, it'd be the first major federal legislation aimed at speeding these vehicles to market.
The set of bills would grant waivers exempting up to 100,000 vehicles a year per manufacturer from federal motor vehicle safety rules.
Certainly, this is leaning towards faster deployment with fewer barriers.
Nidhi Kalra with the RAND Corporation says the exemptions could be for things like rearview mirrors, which driverless cars don't need.
The idea is to keep states from regulating the technology behind autonomous vehicles, which could create a problem for developers who are trying to deploy across the country.
Safety advocates worry the waivers might short-circuit the testing process. Democrat Jan Schakowsky says she does have concerns about the number of waivers, but ultimately agrees on the need for federal regulations.
We are very cognizant that states are anxious to move, but we're hopeful we can balance the interest of states and the federal issues.
Backers of the new rules say driverless technology will save thousands of lives, even without new regulations. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
It is vacation season, and we here at Marketplace know the value of a dollar. So when it comes to travel strategy and not getting ripped off, we like to consult Mark Orlowski, who does a lot of travel, as the founder of the Sustainable Endowments Institute. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Sabri.
So we are, as I mentioned, in the middle of summer travel season, and some of us are lucky enough to go on trips. You have to weigh whether to use points or cash for your flights, right? And that's not a straightforward question. How do you know what to use?
It depends on how much money the ticket would cost if you were to pay cash, and it also depends on how many miles you have. If you have many millions of miles, practically no matter what the cost may be, it's probably best to spend your miles because they only sort of go one way in value. They slowly depreciate over time. Whereas if you maybe are like most folks and only have a smaller number of miles, you need to weigh whether it's a good use of those limited miles depending upon the cash price of the ticket.
What's the trick for figuring that out?
You want to look at the price that the ticket currently costs if you were to pay cash versus the number of miles required if the ticket is available using miles. And generally speaking, if you can get at least about 2 pennies per point in value from redeeming your miles instead of paying cash, I would encourage you to consider redeeming your miles unless you're saving them for a very special trip.
It seems like airlines have been sort of steadily depreciating and devaluing the worth of their miles. Will this long march of devaluation ever stop?
Certainly the existing short and long-term trend is towards continued sort of devaluation. Take, for example, United Airlines, who just recently announced their major devaluation that's going to go into effect starting November 1. Now, United should be applauded for giving everyone around 4 months advance notice, but the United news certainly means that more and more cases, the sort of equation of when it makes sense to use cash and when it makes sense to redeem your miles shifts further and further in favor of looking to use cash because the value of those miles continues to go down.
Mark Orlowski, founder of Sustainable Endowments Institute, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And in New York, I am Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.